Very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 4th of February, 2021, Thursday class. We are continuing from this book, The Essence of Infinite Meaning. Teachings from the adapted verses of the Sutra of Infinite Meanings, Wu Liang Yi Jing. So we are at page 115. So just relax body and mind and get ready for meditation. As usual, we will have our half an hour of awareness-based meditation. We will off the light now so that you all can proceed with your meditation. Remember the four supports. Relax every part of your body and mind, be at ease, then maintain awareness for as long as you can. The second support is actually aware, just aware. Then the third one is to maintain this awareness for as long as you can. The last support is trust. Trust your nature to do. There is no interference from your thought process, from your mundane mind, from your thinking mind, from your mental conditioning, which is memory, your brain. So when you can do that, your nature meditate. Okay. We are at the new subsection. As great master woodmen, they carry all living beings across the river of cyclic existence to the shore of Nirvana. It should be to the other shore of Nirvana. Because on our samsara side, which is the cycle of birth and death, you have to cultivate, develop the awakening, the understanding. Then after that, you can realize enlightenment, realize Nibbana. Then when you realize Nibbana, it is the unconditioned. So the analogy is always the other shore, which is the unconditioned. So it's like the Mandarin saying, Sang Liao An, means you have reached the other shore, you have gone beyond the waterway. So this subheading is very meaningful. It has great meaning. The great master Buddhist means the great beings, the Sammasambuddhas and all the great beings, the great bodhisattvas. The normal master Buddhamen are just the bodhisattvas. So those who are learning the trade, walking the path, they are just Buddhamen, developing the skill. So once you have developed the skill, you master, you become master Buddhamen. Then when you become great being, you become great master boatman. So here is the analogy. It's like you have this ability to take beings across, because it is talking about the other shore, samsara, being over this side, the sea of suffering, the cycle of birth and death. So to cross that ocean or that river of samsara or ocean of suffering, you need boats, you need great master boatman to steer so that you will not be drifted away, you will not be deviated from the course, so that you can clearly cultivate correctly, precisely, and develop the awakening to realize Nibbana. So we will read on to develop the understanding. The compassionate samadhi water repentant state. So this is the sutra's analogy. Compassionate samadhi water repentant states. So this samadhi water repentance is a form of cultivation. You're not only compassionate, you have samadhi. Then you did it through repentance. So this particular teaching, compassionate samadhi water repentance, states those who have many desire, this one you must understand, it's very important. So it states that those who have many desire, desire here means craving, attachment, grasping, clinging, holding on to things. Your desire, your covetousness, your negative craving too, even your anger, your hatred, your resentment, your fear, your insecurities. All these are your desires, your many desires. Your desire can be positive and negative. Desire is your craving, whatever you want. So those who have many desire seek many gain. So they want to gain things, have things, and they want to hold on to things. And thus have many afflictions and experience much suffering. So you have to watch out for this, and you can put this to test whether the sutra is correct or not. So if we were to look at this very profound statement from this sutta, compassionate samadhi water repentance sutta, which states those who have many desire or craving born of wrong thought, wrong view, self-delusion and ignorance, they seek many gains, means they want to have things, own things, gather things, they crave for things, they want, there is very strong desire, covetousness, craving, and thus they have many affliction. So this affliction comes about because when you cannot get what you want, when your craving and desire or expectation in life are not met, you suffer. That's why the sutras say, thus they have many affliction and experience much sufferings. Whereas on the other hand, those who are content or contented, they feel happy and at ease, even when sleeping on the ground, because they have contentment, understanding. They don't have craving. So there is also a saying from the Buddha when they ask the Buddha, what is the highest happiness? So a lot of people will think the answer should be like having a lot of wealth, a lot of materialistic wealth, money, status, and all those things. But the Buddha instead just mentioned one very simple virtue. He said, contentment is the highest wealth. When you have contentment, you are wealthy. Yeah. So many people cannot understand this profound statement. In the early day, especially when I was going through the cultivation and the training, I reflected on it. How come the Buddha is so wise? He chose just this virtue, contentment. If you have contentment, you will have the highest happiness. Then when I reflected, I start to gain understanding, then I say, yeah, in this world, we look around. People who are not contented with things, don't have contentment, they are indeed very poor. Because without contentment, you cannot have happiness and wealth. So contentment is the highest wealth, brings about the highest happiness. So contentment is very important. You are a very wealthy person, let's say, very wealthy. You have a lot of money, a lot of possession. Maybe you did well in the materialistic sense. You gain a lot of wealth. But if you don't have contentment, you say you still don't have enough. So what happened? Are you wealthy? You are not wealthy because you strive for more. You still have craving. You still want. You lack contentment. So people who lack contentment, they will have suffering. They will have problem. So contentment is the highest wealth that brings about the highest happiness. The happiness in the sense like you don't have to suffer anymore. Whereas the person who is contented with life is at peace. He's always happy because he's happy with what he already has. He's contented with what he already received or has. That's why there is no more desire or craving to have more. So in that sense, contentment is really very important. Then virtue you must develop more and more. Then the other aspect of that sutra statement or truth, we have to understand it clearly so that we can use it, apply it to live life, to develop the understanding. So the sutra say those who have many desire or craving, they will have a lot of afflictions. Therefore, they suffer a lot. So what are desires? So I have already explained, desire are our craving. When we want things, when we crave for things, that is positive craving. When it's something negative, we develop anger, hatred. We want to push it away. We doesn't want that thing, like craving not to be. Then the other one is fear, worry, anxiety, insecurity, phobia. All these are negativity of mind state. How do we have all this negativity of mind state? It's because we have craving, we have desire. If we don't have desire, there will be no fear, no worry, no anxiety, no sorrow, no lamentation. If we have contentment, we will be at peace all the time. So craving is a very powerful desire. When you have craving, you desire strongly. That's why after that, it grabs, it becomes grasping. But we must differentiate between craving and normal needs. So the basic needs of life, like food and shelter, clothing, then basic education, hygiene, sanitary, sanitation and whatever. These are needs. So when you work towards what you need, there is no craving. You actually strive on to develop a skill. You develop a means to survival, to develop the basic need, like the Maslow need theory. Food, shelter, clothing, then after that, we can have more and more success. But you have to watch out for the lack of contentment. When we go beyond needs, we are actually striving for more things. We are craving for more things. And most of the time, those are not the things that you really need. It is a lot to do with our self-identity, our self-delusion, because we believe we exist. That's why you want to own things and have things. That's why the egoic mind arises. It creates selfishness. It creates desire. It creates craving. It creates the delusion to own, to have, to be successful, to be famous. That's why human beings strive for a lot of things that is way beyond their greed and their needs, their basic needs. They crave and desire to do a lot of funny things. It doesn't mean that you cannot be successful in life, you cannot be wealthy. No, that is not what the Buddha meant. The Buddha's meaning is very simple. If there is condition for this thing to come, to arise through the proper means, without violating the moral code, the nature's law, then no harm. Then use it for the good of the many and yourself. And that is allowable under the Dhamma understanding. That is what life is all about. But not to crave and have a lot of things that you don't really need. You don't really know how to use them. So that becomes desire, craving. So that will trigger off a lot of wrong thought or negativity of thinking. So what are wrong thoughts? We already gone through thought that condition our lack of peace, thought that condition our fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation. That's why my advice to Kalyanamitta is whenever you are not peaceful and not happy, the evil roots are there, the wrong thoughts are there. And today, there is a very good condition for us to understand this teaching deeply so that we can prove that the sutta is correct. The compassionate, great samadhi, repentant sutta is correct. So the compassionate, great samadhi, water repentant sutta is correct. So we look at the Paticca-samuppada, the first two links. The Buddha taught us this teaching, the law of mind. He called it the law of dependent origination, Paticca-samuppada. Or we sometimes call it the 12 links because there are 12 links in between. So this law of dependent origination is very important. The first two links, the Buddha make it very clear. Because of ignorance, avijja, human beings create sankhara activity or thinking. So avijja, paccaya, sankhara is the first two links. When we look at this two links, we have to develop clear understanding. Who are the one who have avijja, ignorant, or self-delusion? These are normal puttujana who are not enlightened. The unenlightened being has ignorance. And because of that, it conditions mental activity, sankhara. So this sankhara, mental activity, are basically thought process with its content. The content of consciousness within the thought process. When there is avijja, it will condition the wrong thought. That's how suffering comes to be. That's how the lack of peace and happiness come to be. Whenever you are unhappy and not peaceful, there is avijja, there is ignorance, the wrong thought is there. And what are wrong thoughts? You can recognize them because they condition your suffering, your misery, your fear, your worry, your insecurity, your lack of peace, your sadness, your sorrow, your lamentation, even all the other negativity of mind state like envy, jealousy, hatred. These are all wrong thoughts. So when you are mindful, heedful, you are sensitive. When you condition all these wrong thoughts, you can feel the negativity of mind state. You can feel your lack of peace, your lack of happiness, your stress, your sorrow, your lamentation, your suffering, your misery. And the reason why it happened is because avijja is ignorant. Why did it condition wrong thought? Because you have avijja. You don't understand the truth. You don't understand the Dhamma, the nature's law that governs life and existence. You entangle yourself. You develop craving. You develop desire. That's why your many desire and craving will condition negativity of mind state, the wrong thought. And when there is wrong thought, it will lead to suffering. It will lead to misery. Because all this wrong thought has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. So we must awaken to this. We must see this clearly. We must have mindfulness to be sensitive about what is going on within our form and mind. So that we can see all this clearly. So that we can go through life with mental clarities. We will have the heedful mind that is ever mindful, constantly meditative, leading to heedfulness. Then only we can develop the right view, the understanding to free our mind, to liberate our mind, so that we don't have to suffer, so that we will not have avijja. The moment we straighten our view to right understanding and right view, we will weaken the first link, avijja. So when avijja weaken, what happens? It will create less sankhara, means less heedless thinking, less wrong thought. So most of the time you are just aware. Then when you can root out most of the wrong thought, most of the avijja, when you straighten your view until you hardly have any more wrong view, when your initial wisdom is very stable, what happened? Our mind become different. Our mind transform. Without avijja, our mind will not stir. It will not create wrong thought. Avijja paccaya sankhara weaken, attenuated, or become much less. So most of the time, we are just aware. We can see things as they are. We can be at peace. And this is what the Dhamma is all about. We have to train our mind to learn to have the ability to see things as they are. To see things as they are means to see the truth, the reality. So we must begin to love Dhamma, love reality, love the truth. Then we can be at peace. In fact, all teaching points towards that. Even Byron Katie, the one that came out with the understanding of what constitutes suffering, he said, you believe your wrong thought, you become miserable. Then she starts to analyze thought. He said, every time she believed her thought, she suffered. Because before she was enlightened, she has a lot of selfish thought, deluded thought, evil thought. Thought that has the evils of greed, hatred, and delusion. But he doesn't know the Dhamma, that's why she didn't relate it that way. She only realized one very important, profound fact. Every time she believed her thought, she became miserable. Because she realized her thought is always not reflecting the reality of life and existence. She every time has craving, she wants things her way. She gets angry very fast, agitated very fast. A lot of emotion. She worries, she has fear, she has stress. Because every time she craves for things to go her way, not other people's way, which is nature's way. Then she realized there is a reality in life. And what is that reality? She called it what is. That reality is the way things are actually, what the Buddha taught. When she can accept the reality of the moment more and more, she realizes she doesn't suffer. When she don't crave, when she don't want things her way, when she can accept life as it is, she realizes she is very peaceful. Then she realizes life is really beautiful, meaningful. You only have to understand that. Then he starts to trust the reality instead of the thought. She realized the thought before she is enlightened, before she has this understanding, always make her miserable until she went into severe depression, almost paralyzed, crippled. Then because of certain very profound past condition, she suddenly one day awakened to this fact, this truth. Then she starts to see things differently. She starts to understand the importance or acceptance of life. Look at life differently. Accept the reality of life and existence. Thing is just the way it is. Then she starts to accept what is. Whatever people do, she just have the understanding, the joy, she accept. She don't want to create negative thinking, comment, create all the wrong view, the wrong thought, the delusion. Then she starts to express joy and kindness. She starts to use very nice words, no longer angry words, no longer the envy, the jealousy, the hatred, the delusion, the strong, rigid views and opinion that she used to have. And through this, she become peaceful. When she don't resist, don't react, don't fight, she realized she can be very peaceful, very happy. And when she came out of that, her life changed, she transformed. She even recovered from her depression, her illness, her sickness. She was almost at the point of paralysis, just through this right understanding, right view. So this teaching of the Buddha is very powerful. That's why my teaching, I expanded on what constitutes wrong thought, wrong view, that condition, suffering. So that understanding is very important. And with that, if you read Dhyanakirti, they call it the work, four lines of questioning. Question your thought. Before you are enlightened, you have avijja. Evil condition, wrong thought, sankhara. So question your thought. Is it the truth? Are you sure it's the absolute truth? Then the third and the fourth question is the turnaround. When I think this thought, what happened to me? When I believe this thought, what happened to me? She said, write it down. You become miserable. You become very, very unhappy. Especially those who entangle themselves in life through the First Noble Truth reality. So now we start to go into a few examples which are very powerful, very useful. Let's say relationship failure. Maybe you are married as a couple. At some point within your life, you realize your spouse cheat on you. He is not like before, no longer sincere, no longer faithful. So what happened? It will condition your anger, your hatred, your wrong thought. Then you start to hate your spouse. Then you start to think the wrong thought. And the wrong thought will tell you, how can this guy or this person do that? I love him so much, or I love her so much. I sacrificed so much for her. I did everything for her, and yet she do all this to me. So when you think this thought, you develop more anger, more hatred, more unhappiness, until it become a cocoon of repeated thought, have your tendency leading to like the tape recorder keep on spinning within your brain. You keep on creating this wrong thought. So what happened? They will land themselves into a lot of severe depression. And when they are depressed, they will have suicidal thoughts. They will have a lot of suffering, misery. They are really, really miserable, stressful, stressed out. They lost their life. They are trapped in misery, in wrong thought. So Bhayan Kathy say, question your thought. Are you sure it's the truth? When you say, how can your husband or your spouse do all this? How can they be so selfish and all those things? Question your thought. Then you realize when you are in that state of emotion and anger and hatred, you say, yeah, that is the right thought. That he is what I said. Because maybe you have proof, you have evidence. You get private investigator to follow him, and they will evidence, photo and all those things. Now they can give you video with the recording too. Then the second line of questioning is the best. Are you absolutely sure that this is the right thought? So when you start to question the thought this way, you will definitely say, yeah, I'm very sure. And then the third and the fourth is the turnaround. The third question will ask you a very direct question. What happened to you when you think that wrong thought? Or before you label it as wrong thought, when you think that thought, when you believe that thought, what happened to you? You become miserable, isn't it? You suffer, isn't it? That's how all these people go through life. They become so unhappy, so miserable, so depressed, because they keep on thinking that thought, believing that thought. Before you are enlightened, the Buddha already say, avijja paccaya sankhara, ignorant condition, wrong thought, sankhara activity, which are wrong thought. And I already explained what constitutes wrong thought. Thought that condition, your suffering, your misery, your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow and your lamentation. So when you know that these are wrong thoughts, then you ask yourself a very simple question. Your life, you hold the key to your own life destiny. To be happy or to be unhappy is entirely your choice. That's why you must learn how to develop the right view, the understanding. To rise above all this, to choose wisely. If you choose to be happy, Why are you not happy? Then why you keep on thinking the wrong thought and believing those thoughts and end up so miserable, so afflicted, so unhappy, so full of emotion, negativity? So when you realize this, you like the beginning of awakening. Yeah, my life, how can I be so stupid? If I think that thought, I become so miserable. Then why did I think that wrong thought? Because you don't know the Dhamma. That's why when you know the Dhamma, the teaching is the opposite, Noble Eightfold Path. Right view leading to right thought. But you are not doing that. You don't even understand what constitutes right thought. That's why you can't free. Right thought is the reality. Your spouse is the way he is or she is. It cannot be otherwise. Deluded beings, deluded person, think deludedly. Selfish people do selfish things. Evil people do evil things. Deluded people do deluded things. People who are selfish have a lot of craving, desire. They will do all those things, selfish things. They will have a lot of lust, craving, desire. They are just the way they are. So you have to accept that reality. Then move on to understand life. Because by holding on to what happened and become miserable over it, continuously think the wrong thought, is not going to help you. It's not going to free you. You have to reverse all this through an understanding. Then what must you do? You have to accept the reality of the moment. He is the way he is, or she is the way she is. So when you understand that, you can accept them for what they are, you become different. You become at peace. That's it. Finish. Our relationship is based on sincerity leading to trust. Then there is harmony. There is good life. There is good mutual trust and sincerity. So the give and take, the support, everything is there. But when that trust and sincerity is being breached, there must be a reason for it. Like the Buddha said, whatever that happened, there are causes and conditions behind. So causes and conditions behind is mainly, like the Buddha explained, under the five daily contemplation, the last one. We are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So very likely, almost 100%, all this happened because of karmic past. Then you reflect on the teaching. The Buddha said, you reap what you sow. Do good, we get good. Do evil, we get evil. You plant the seed of evil, you reap the fruit of evil. So whatever you have done in the past, when it comes to friction, you become the victim. You have to face the same suffering, similar or same suffering, like what you did to others. So if that is the law of karma, then you can accept that reality. Then say, yeah, this is fair. We are in the past when I did to people what my spouse did to me now. I don't understand how people suffer, how they go through the agony, the misery. I was deludedly drawn by craving, by desire, by lust, by my misguided wrong thought, selfish thought, and desire. So all this, when you start to reflect and contemplate, then you start to understand. Then you become at peace. So the solution is the fourth questioning. Bhayan Kathy said, the fourth question is, if you don't think that thought, what happened to you? Means if you don't think that wrong thought. If you arise the right thought, accept the reality of what happened. Means you realize before this wrong thought comes, you were happy, you were peaceful. Life was beautiful, meaningful. And how did all this happen? Because you think that wrong thought. You believe those thoughts. And those are wrong thoughts which you don't recognize. So if you understand this, you break free. Means you accept the reality of the moment. Then the Buddhist teaching become very beautiful. This Sambhayangkati never teach. I have shared with you all many times. So you must do according to the teachings, the Dhamma, to free yourself from all this. So you must act with wisdom, with understanding, following the Dhamma way to liberate your mind, to free your mind, to arise the right thought. Because when you can accept the reality of the moment, means it's due to karma. Okay? I understand now. I do not hate. I do not arise the wrong thought. I do not stir my mind anymore. I can accept the reality of the moment. I can accept them for what they are. So with that clarity of mind, you are at peace. Your mind does not stir. There is no evil root. There is no wrong thought. Then you act. Act with what? Wisdom. Wisdom following the Dhamma way. The first thing you can do is, as far as my cultivation goes, my nature knows I have done this for many, many aeons and aeons of cultivation. And because of that, my nature understands. That's why this life, when I come, I teach people the same thing. You have to do trainings to come out of it. First, if you accept the reality of karma, the law of karma, then you have to repent. Repentance is number one. Ask for forgiveness. Whomsoever from the distant past until now, whether knowingly or unknowingly, that this nature of mine has committed any karmic negativity or evil or caused suffering and misery or misled, my nature sincerely asks for forgiveness from them all. May my sincere request for forgiveness or apology be accepted by all. May all beings be well and happy. May they all too be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May the blessing of the Triple Jhana to be with them. May they develop the understanding not to do all this so that mankind can have better life. Then after that, you vow, you determine not to repeat all this evil action or evil deeds where you know they are wrong. So you vow to follow the advice of the Buddha, to avoid all evil, to do good, to purify your mind, following Dhammapada verse 183. Sabba papasa akaranam kusalesa upasampadam sacitta pariyottapadam etang bunana sasana. Sabbe means all. Papasa means evil. Akaranam, you have to avoid all evil. And how do you avoid evil? You have to keep your precepts. But when you break your precepts, you violate major moral code. You create major evil. That's how suffering comes to be. You reap what you sow. So keeping precept is very important. Keeping precept is to protect yourself from being harmed, being cheated, being deceived, from falling into the evil path of negative tendency. Then when you create all this negative tendency which is coming, your karmic nature will fall. Then when you come, you are born of your karma, heir to your karma condition, supported by your karma. And you are what you are because of your karma. So what will happen to your life? You will become miserable. You will be afflicted. So, following the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil by keeping the precept is the first step to change your life, to transform your life. Of course, it includes the asking for forgiveness and repentance, the first advice, the first way. Then second thing that you have to do is follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil. So that one, keep the precept, you know. To keep the precept, you must train your mind to be mindful, to be sensitive, to have the ability to be aware of the evil roots. The evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion that condition your negativity, your mind states. So keeping precept need the mind that has mindfulness, stability of mindfulness, leading to heedfulness. Without that, you are not sensitive. You cannot see your mental intention behind, and you will not be able to really keep your precept. Then after that, you have to determine further to cultivate whatever wholesomeness there is, wherever there is condition for it to arise. And that one is under the second advice of the Buddha. So to do that, you must also have the right effort and the right mindfulness to do it. The four right efforts are very important. First two is regarding the wrong thought. Right effort to abandon the wrong thought that has arisen. Then the second right effort is to prevent that wrong thought from arising. Yeah. So this right effort, you need to really understand what constitutes evil. Then only you can be mindful of it. Then only you can apply the right effort to abandon those wrong thoughts. If you don't know what constitutes evil, you can never identify the wrong thought, the mental intention behind. So whatever thought that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, born of sakkayaditti or self-delusion, are wrong thought. Then after that, the third right effort is based on Noble Eightfold Path. Right view leading to right thought, right speech, and right action. So whatever right thought, right speech, and right action that are still not in you, you must arise the right effort to cultivate them. What are right thought, right speech, and right action? Action, speech, and thought that are free of the evil root of greed, hatred, and delusion, free of selfishness, free of negativity or emotion, free of fear, free of insecurity, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. Thoughts that are very wholesome, beautiful, all your virtuous thoughts, thought of generosity, contentment, kindness, gentleness, pleasantness, thought that condition harmony, love, compassion, thought of rejoicing in the goodness of what people has done. When we can rejoice with somebody's wholesomeness, we will cut away envy and jealousy. When we have love and compassion, we will not have anger, hatred, and cruelty. So all these are right thoughts. So when you have sincerity, when you have respect for people who has helped you, gratitude towards those who have helped you or who has maybe done certain things for society, you can express all this virtue. These are all right thoughts. These are all wholesome thoughts. Then when you act generously, honestly, sincerely, these are right action. Then speech, good, pleasant, and gentle speeches that leads to harmony, leads to love, leads to understanding, that do away with people's fear and suffering. These are all right speech. Speech that can bring forth love, compassion, understanding to free people from suffering and misery, that can give people faith and confidence to turn around, to live their life differently. So these are the way to do it. Then thirdly, of course, purify your mind to meditate, which we have gone through. Develop awareness-based meditation leading to heedfulness. Then the last step is the third one, most important. When you follow the advice of the Buddha to cultivate and why all you want to go and purify, means you are starting the Dhamma cultivation. You are developing the 10 meritorious action. All this will fall into place. That everything you do is Dhamma way. Then you will accumulate a lot of merits, wholesomeness, and blessings. Then you create affinity with Triple Gem, all the great beings. Then you will have no more karmic negativity where you avoid all evil, you keep the precepts. And you cultivate wholesomeness. So all this will lead you to a great transformation. Your life will change for the better. You will have good life. Then you can invoke power of merits and wholesomeness or power of truth for whatever you want in life to turn around the situation. You can invoke power of merits by the power of whatever wholesomeness or merits that I have cultivated or developed over the past, distant past until now, or when at the moment I understand this teaching and start cultivating, may it arise the causes and conditions for me to avoid all the foolish, meet up with the wise, so the enlightenment in the here and the now can be realized soonest. Then you can also invoke our merits for turnaround of whatever problem you may have to help friends or yourself. You can even invoke our merits for causes and conditions for you to gain back your health, gain back your mental, good mental states, so that you can have a second chance in life, so that you can continue with the good life to develop the cultivation, the understanding, and the awakening, and to be a blessing to all. So all these are possible ways of developing the understanding to help people, to help yourself, to turn things around. And this is the nature's way, the Dhamma way. This has got nothing to do with belief system or psychic and other things. No, it's just understanding nature's law, Dhamma. When you understand nature's law, you understand Dhamma, you know how to apply, you know how to do all these things. So with that, I think you should have a very different, complete understanding of what this teaching is and what it is capable of. Okay, now we have our toilet break. It's already 9:35. Afterwards, we come back, we will continue. So hopefully, this sharing will open up a lot of understanding for people. Then you all will know how to understand the teaching differently. And you can use this to help many people. Now I read the sutta again, you will understand better. The compassionate samadhi water repentance states, those who have many desire or craving seek many gains and thus have many afflictions and experience much suffering. So now this statement is very clear. Then those who are contented feels happy and at ease even when sleeping on the ground. So all suffering in the world is tied to the mind, the deluded mundane mind, thinking mind, that has the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion, or basically selfishness, craving and delusion. When people have many desires, their mind will look outwardly and insistently pursue what they do not already have. They will never be satisfied. That's why craving is an unending desire. And will be overwhelmed by the sea of desire. Thus, they experience unspeakable suffering. So now you understand, these are all very true. On the other hand, let us consider those who have contentment or who are content. As long as their bodies are healthy, their minds are peaceful and the family life in harmony, even if they are impoverished or impoverished and sleep on the floor, they will still be happy. So what kind of life is truly blessed? Indeed, everything is created by the mind. That's why the Buddha said, mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, all things arise. So this statement is very true. Then just now the author mentioned, as long as their body are healthy, means when you are without sickness, when you are without injury, problems, and your mind are at peace, and your family life are in harmony, that is truly happiness. That is truly a blessing. But there are certain things that, as Chinese, we have this tradition. This will complete all the rest. Because Chinese people always say, when they have contentment, they say, hey, actually, we are very lucky already home here. Why? Because ejia ekun. What is ejia ekun? Means you can eat well. You can sleep well. That is peace of mind. Isn't it? That is because you don't have suffering. You don't have illness. You don't have disease. Otherwise, you cannot. Bijia bikun means what? You don't have the, what they call, the mood to even eat properly. And you cannot sleep because of your suffering, your misery, your fear, your worry, your anxiety. So first thing is, ejia ekun. Then now they add in, can walk, ekia. Because some can't even walk. So there are certain things in life when we have contentment, when we understand, we have a lot of joy. That's why life is very simple when you understand. When you don't understand, you compare with all those wealthy people, rich people, then despite what you have, you still are not contented. You still complain. You still want things your way. You still develop unnecessary misery and suffering. For what? In the early days, I used to explain a lot of these things to people. Sometimes certain family, they have what they call problems, family problems. Sometimes because their children's problem. And sometimes because of their children's spouse problem. And there may be other issues and problem, misunderstanding and all those things. So they will come and complain and say, why my children are like that? Why my, what you call children's spouse, simple, kiasaya. Why they are like that? Miss your children's spouse, or your daughter-in-law and your son-in-law. Why are they like that? Why they make life so difficult? Why argue? Why have so much problem every now and then? Then sometimes because of anger, hatred, because they cannot see the law of karma. Sometimes it's because they owe each other coming debt. In Hokkien we say siu kiam chi. So this type of coming debt, sometimes you cannot see. Past life you bully them. This life come, you become the victim. They bully you back and do all those funny things to you. Then you cannot take it, you cannot bear it, then you become angry, you have hatred, then you become angry, then you want to take revenge. Sometimes that hatred is so strong. So they did all those funny things. Then normally these are more elderly people. Then I told them, because you lack contentment, you don't understand life, that's why you entangle yourself and become miserable over nothing, over your lack of understanding, overcoming issue that you don't understand. I said, you're supposed to be one of the happiest parents around. You should have the good life. They asked me why. So I explained to them very simple. I said, you have how many children? Then they count. Then that family happened to have, I think, six children. Then I say, how are they doing? He said, yeah, they have good education. Most of them went to university. Then the one that didn't go to university also have a good marriage and is very happy, very successful. Then I say, what else you want? Your children are all grown up. Most of them have good education. Then why are you creating a mess all of your life? Then I say, you look at your family now. You have property. You have houses. You own all those houses. You have land also. Then your children also, some of them already start to make it and have the good life. But yet, there is no harmony, no contentment. Everybody is still fighting over one coming issue that you don't understand. That's why when you don't have contentment, when you don't know how to reflect, you become like most deluded people. So when you have that understanding, you reflect back, you really should count your good karma and good blessing that you can have a perfect body, good health without problem, even up to this age. Why you want to complain about life and other things? Worry about your children's thing, and because of karmic thing, you want to take revenge and develop all this craving over nothing, over non-issue. Why can't you accept the reality of what happened the moment and instead look at the good thing, the happy thing, the thing that can give you a lot of joy, happiness, and blessing? So this is how we should contemplate and reflect. Then through having contentment, we will become different. We will have a lot of joy. Then through our ability to accept the reality of the moment, to accept what is, to be at peace with the reality, like the Buddha say, whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions behind. So at this moment, at this point, this is the reality. It cannot be otherwise. You want things your way, you think the wrong thought, you suffer, you become miserable. Is that what you want? Your life, you decide. And it becomes so simple. So when we understand life, we understand the Dhamma, we can become so different. We not only free ourselves, we can help others too. And today's sharing will be very good. It can help many people. Okay, we go on. We will continue with the sharing. This is why sentient beings easily lost their direction as they drift in the sea of desire. So mainly to wrong thought, wrong view, craving, desire. For this reason, they need a strong or great master boatman to guide their course and point their mind in the right direction, means with right view and right thought. The Buddha is a great master boatman who returned to this world to sail the ship of compassion through the ocean of suffering. Here they put sea of desire. Actually, it's an ocean of suffering. K. carrying all sentient beings across to the other shore, and yet one ship is not enough. In the vast sea of desire or samsara, ocean of birth and death, one ship, no matter how large, is not enough to carry all sentient beings together to the other shore of Nibbana. On the other hand, even if we only have a small ship, as long as we persevere, this quality is very important, persevere, in our effort to save and carry sentient beings across, we can still be a powerful force for deliverance. Therefore, countless master boatmen are needed. We all need to take the teachings of the Buddha to our heart. And as we seek the path to Buddhahood, we must also seek to transform all sentient beings, means take the Bodhisattva path. With the Dhamma in our heart, we can go among living beings to become a master boatman for those who are drifting in the sea of desire. This is the reason why the Buddha came to the world and established these teachings by expounding the various sutta. He hoped to guide us on the right course of spiritual practice and awaken our spiritual wisdom to take the Dhamma to heart, which will help us to transform ourselves and others. Learning the Buddha's way is like learning to navigate a ship on the proper course through a vast ocean. Hence, Buddhist texts or sutra often states that the Dhamma is like a raft. The Dhamma is like a bamboo raft that can help us cross the ocean of suffering, samsara. Although a raft is very simple, it still can carry people across the water. The Buddha is our great guiding teacher. He shared the Buddha Dhamma to the world, teaching us how to guide those who are confused, deluded, and has ignorance, means and adrift in the sea of desire or ocean of samsara. If we, sentient beings, accept the Buddha Dhamma, we can transform ourselves and others. As one by one, we help each other to cross this vast ocean of samsara. This way, all can arrive at the other shore of Nirvana. In life, we suffer because we are lost in the cycle of samsara. Samsara is the wheel of life, birth and death, ocean of birth and death. The goal of spiritual cultivation is to realize Nibbana, the unconditioned, or liberation from the cycle of birth and death, so that we don't have to be born again. The Buddha was born into this world and lived in it for 80 years. With his own body, he manifests the 8 aspects of attaining enlightenment. So we look at the notes. 8 aspects of the Buddha's life. He descends from Tusita heaven, entry into his mother's womb. Then he was born. Then how he left home, means he renounced the worldly life. Then how he overcome Mara when he was cultivating. Then how he attained enlightenment. How he expound the Dhamma. How he enter Parinibbana. So this is what they call the 8 aspects of the Buddha's life. Okay. So I'll read again. He manifested the 8 aspects of attaining enlightenment. And at the end also grow old, become ill and sick, and die. In this way, he demonstrated the law of nature and showed that even for Buddhas, time in the physical realm is limited, as they are also subject to this cycle. So here, maybe I need to explain a little bit. What the author is trying to share with us is, even as the Buddha, Samasambuddha, we normally refer all these great beings to like what the Western culture is or most religion believe, that they are very special beings. They call them God and all the things, eternal life, capable of fantastic thing, but they don't understand the real reality of life and existence. But because the Buddha understands, that's why he never proclaimed that he is a God. He is a like supernatural being that has the eternal life and all those things. No. In fact, to understand truth, the reality, the Buddhist teaching is very profound, very deep. It explains clearly to us the unconditioned and the conditioned. The conditioned world has its conditioned Dhamma. The unconditioned world has its unconditioned Dhamma. So when you fail to understand both the conditioned and the unconditioned Dhamma, you cannot understand life. Because according to the Buddhist teaching, the Buddha understands every living being. If you want to arise within the conditioned world, or what we call our this universe, which is the conditioned world that has the conditioned Dhamma, we need a form and mind. We need a karmically conditioned form and mind, or a vehicle and a tool for us to come. Otherwise, we cannot come. So that's why the Buddha knew this form and mind is not our true nature. This form and mind is just a karmically conditioned form and mind, which is subject to change. That's why it has a universal characteristic of impermanent. When you grasp and cling, it leads to suffering. And because it's impermanent, it's non-self, empty nature, existence, anatta. So the Buddha understood this very clearly. That's why his teaching is properly taught, so that we can understand, so that we are not deluded, so that we do not deludedly cling and grasp onto this five aggregate of form and mind. This so-called human being or living being, the karmically conditioned vehicle and tool, the form and mind that we come with, is not the real entity. This one is subject to nature's law within the conditioned world. That's why the physical body, the consciousness that is trapped inside, they exhibit the universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta. And they are dependent, originating, conditioned, arising phenomena, causal phenomena, not a permanent unchanging entity that you can grasp onto, hold onto, cling onto, and say, this is me, this is I. That's why this one, the physical body, goes the way of nature. That's why it's subject to old age, sickness, and death. Of course, it includes birth. Birth, old age, sickness, and death. But this is not him. Just like this physical body of mine, my physical form, you call Pradatio. This is not me. This is my karmically conditioned for my mind, for me to come to this existential world, this life, this segment of my life. And you must not be deluded by it. That's why the teaching is very beautiful, very clear. The fifth patriarch told the sixth patriarch, Huineng, you must understand this mind and learn to use it, but not to be deceived by it. This refers to our five aggregates of form and mind, the mundane mind. So when you have the true understanding of the true mind, true meditation, awakening, then you look at the form and mind, you know how to use it. and not be deluded by it or deceived by it. That is right view, that is right understanding, then there is no suffering. That's why the Buddha will not cling on to the physical body and worry about it getting sick, getting old and die. Yeah, that is not him. He already say, Rupang anicchang, Rupang anatta. That form is impermanent, not a permanent unchanging entity. That's why it's non-self, it's empty. If you attach and cling, it leads to suffering. It has the universal characteristic. So this teaching is so beautiful and so profound. You can't find it in other teaching. That's why the Buddhist teaching is very unique. You don't need a concept of a God, an almighty, to explain the way things are. Thing is just the way it is. Dhamma. Dhamma is true. Dhamma is the teaching of the Buddha. When you understand Dhamma, you understand life. So that is basically how beautiful the Buddha's teaching is all about. So with this, I think we end exactly 10 o'clock. Okay, good. So we can open up for second session, which is meditation reporting, and followed by whatever question and sharing.
Hi. Good evening, Brad.
Yeah.
Masuri in our Kriyamita.
Yeah.
What to say? Something. Meeting. Okay, what happened? I just share something on daily life.
Yeah. After you, Song has put up the hand. The way.
Okay.
Don't worry. You take your time. We go through you first.
He recently, I am seeing a lot of people go through the old age suffering.
Yes, you have many
but some,
elderly friends.
Get out very easy. Especially those who have spiritual, some either Christian or they have some faith. Faith.
They have faith in their religion.
Like one of it is my opposite neighbor.
Oh, okay.
She went for her eye operation.
Oh, okay.
I think cataract. Then after that, I think not doing well.
Oh,
and
okay.
She couldn't see very well after her operation. So she went in.
Okay.
Like depression or like
yeah.
The husband was very worried and one day I was in my garden, came and approached me. My wife was very, very sick. Can you see her? I said, sure. Because sometimes I come in, I just say hello, especially MCO seldom. Then I said, Sunday, they have relative. They say, ask me to go on weekday. So okay, I bought some goods. I went over. Oh, she really on the bed, couldn't recognize me also, like really bad, very bad shape.
Really?
Like, totally in a day.
Really sick.
Then after that, I spoke to her, then after that, she's and said. Then subsequently, I went again, I think another month. I went again. Oh, she improved, you know, Pratio.
Oh, sadhu.
She could, already on the chair.
Oh.
On wheelchair, able to talk and recognize me. Another short while again, I went, her mind and the family care also, the husband. After the second one, they need to get a maid to take care of her. They have a maid. Then the third time I went, no more maid already, sack the maid already. can joke with me. Second time she on the walker already. Now without walker.
So more and more improvement, more
lively. And more lively. So I think a faith is very important.
Faith.
On the other hand, my auntie in Penang, my father's sister's All her life has been very smooth, protected. Her job is the family managed to get her job. I think she's with when she was young, Malayan Sugar Factory.
Very good.
Those days, you attach with all these companies, quite a good job.
Central Sugar make a lot of money.
Her marriage arranged everything is like pre-planned. She never go to lie like you have to come out, find a job, all the everything is very planned. So to the family, she's very home. Now, but you old age, nobody can go through for you. Neither your parents or your elders can protect you. She's having it very, very hard time. The children is nice to her, take her for before MCO, always bring her every weekend, take her out because she don't have much interest. Her life is bringing up children. I think the purpose in life also bringing up children and children with their one in UK, two here. Then after that, she has lost interest in a lot of things. Then the health depleted when you're old. So all the illness come. I can a lot of completely change a different person. And my cousin complained to me. My cousin have to employ me to look after her. And she started to when she got very frustrated. She even have to crawl. She pinch all the jiao, the maid. Then the son have to tie up her hand, really, to know what to do. Then I try to call to talk to her, but she get not in the condition to talk to her.
not easy.
That's why I say
a lot of this.
She without dharma,
with karma,
you cannot karma. But she, my cousin keep telling me, my mom has been a very nice person. I say, yes, your mom has been very nice to me or something like that. But don't know, once you without Dharma.
Yeah, not easy to understand. The lack of understanding of life can actually trigger off a lot of suffering. The first noble truth reality, especially old age sickness. Old age sickness and pending death, this can be very, very traumatic for many people who don't have the understanding. They cannot accept the reality of that change, that thing happening. So our physical body is also one of the conditions behind coming for you to experience certain type of suffering and misery. Then it will condition your mental karmic suffering or misery or affliction based on your coming past. So all this, they are interrelated. Then whatever you do, you reap what you sow. Things is just the way it is. Meant to be, you will be. When there is condition for things to unfold, it will. But when there is no condition, it will just go the way of nature. Then they have to go through that period. Unless they have in the past helped people come out of it before, counsel people, help people, then they will have condition for them to meet the right people who can counsel them and lead them out of this reality of existence so that they can develop the good mind state to endure, to be at peace, to have contentment, gratitude. That's why to think the right thought is not easy. Without the Dhamma, it's not easy. It will create a cocoon of negative thought, evil thoughts. Then they believe that thought. That's how they become depressed, unhappy. So this is the result of nature's conditioning, nature's law, mainly karmic. So you don't take care of karma, you have not done anything wholesome, good, or you have not helped people before. When it's time for you to go through all this, you will not find people who will come and help you, because this is all related to nature's law, law of karma. You reap what you sow. If there is no condition for you to receive all this, is because you have not developed the parami for all this. Like we all, as Kayamita, we know, we help many people. We engage in a lot of this type of wholesome thing. Especially you look at Sri Andi or all those Kayamita that have a lot doing all the right thing. So when the time comes, he don't have to worry. A lot of people will help him. He will come through. So
yeah, really, you can see this is like no condition to.
Yeah, you can see, you can understand.
Even like Dharma,
yeah,
cannot. Even when she was better, in a better frame of mind,
my
uncle don't like us taking her to temple or whatever. So it's very difficult. No condition, seriously.
It's also for you to learn, because you have the condition to be exposed to all this, and these are your direct relative. Easier for you to comprehend. Okay, anything else, Stephanie?
Another thing is like to be actually like my daily life. Actually, is once you don't clean, like you know, everything is condition arising.
Yeah.
It's not. You won't feel like, agitated or things are very easy to get by. Like the other day, my neighbors, they have something wrong with their roof or whatever. They said, they need a worker to come over to my house.
Yeah.
I said, fine. So I opened the door. I leave it. It's outside.
After
the worker left, I find, they never put back my... No, they remove something, they never put back. Later on, I find, my pot is on the floor. It broke some of my flower pot. Then after I think a lot, I think the MCO, they have to wear masks to work in a hurry. This is what condition, let it be. If I tell my neighbor will be feeling somewhat. After all, it's only a pot. I can't get back. It's like that. Just let it be. I say,
because these are minor issue.
I say,
don't get the
small thing.
Anger over all this. Otherwise, from war, it will erupt into something very.
I say, no point. Nothing will. I don't even tell them.
Just the way they are.
Then so, if they go and tell the boss, the worker will get the problem. I say, let it be. Nothing major.
Bergeson? You can come in.
Brother actually was wrongly placed.
Because
我刚才是在 lying down, then 我
okay. So
But 我觉得最近碰这么每次听到你的 talk 哈，是觉得是很 profound， 我都是听了很多次。
那
你每次从每一个 angle 去 explain 的时候，
又不一样啊。
对，那个 meaning 哇，碰这么就是觉得哎呦很 profound 啦。
对，
这样。Then 我 I mean about two weeks ago 我 go through 那个什么。Unicode
又不一样了。现在你看这些又不一样了。
对，我在看那个 Unicode 的时候，哇，就每一个的那个 code 就是很 precise， 又很 meaningful。看了以后整个人那种感觉很奇怪。然后我自己里面讲，哇，这个 Unicode 就很像那个。他里面在讲哇，直指人心啊！对，直指人心啊！每一个那个 Unicode 里面的那个 wording straight to the 那个那个 points to the 那个 cultivations 啊。
Yeah. And this is for higher cultivation, the awareness based on.
但是我当时觉得哇，这么。这么我觉得哇，这么这个 Unicode 这样什么样的 profound 了、
啊、very very profound， Never share this type of code unless that being has the understanding that is of that level. Otherwise, it cannot come out. And this teaching wants to come out. That's why the condition arise. Then Ingby happened to record a lot of this. Then Miss Lee also contributed the first few. Then people start to appreciate. Then later on, the condition arise for all the code to be compiled, downloaded. Then I went through it, then I cleaned it up. Some of them earlier on was like overlap, repeated. Then I cleaned it up. Then it become very beautiful. So we should thank Sister Ingby and Miss Lee Dale, right? And others who helped. Very beautiful, yeah.
Yeah, 我那时我一看完了后，哇，我 really 是觉得就哇，那个这个 Unicode 就很像那个六祖的 teaching 这样，straight to the 直接
straight to the nature，对，no need to waste time，不用去做那个 thought base了，that's why there is one guy which we don't know，he commented，he said your teaching is like the six patriarch is it。 So similar, because he realized this type of teaching is not in the book, not taught by people. Even he can't hear from those who are supposed to be monks or what. The teaching is so different because it relates to daily life. It relates to the thought process where people can understand. And the way I explain the difference between awareness and consciousness and all the understanding of awareness, nature, and the thought process. All this, you can never find. That's why I say, these are not normal teachings. These are the lost teaching. The teaching that has already been like lost over time. But to put it into words and share it out is also not easy, because we have the condition, we have the sasana, and we have a lot of other great beings too, like Jay Krishnamurti, Eckhart, Byron Katie, and many others. But they also have their own understanding. Then when you have the understanding, you can actually relate to all their sharing and teaching. Then they are actually all connected to the truth. The truth is what matters. So truth is what is the reality, suchness. That's why Krishnamurti call the isness of thing. Byron Katie also call what is. Then the Buddha call it suchness, seeing things as they are. Tatata. So all these are very beautiful. Yeah, you can.
But不是很奇怪哦，那个 Unicode 哦，有时只是那几个字，那五六个字 ，But 你一看说，哇，这么这五六个字这么样的 powerful 啊，它简直就是 direct to 那个 to 的那个 reality 啊
，Yes, that nature, that true mind, because everything is about that true nature, that true mind, that cultivation.
那我觉得我一看到那些作者这么那个字是很 simple 的 but yet so profound 啦、就是
well, these are the lost teaching.
真的是 but 如果这个字你拆开来你又不觉得 but 你一 combine 起来只是一个 sentence 的时候、
right.
哇它就那个 meaning 就
it become very different、then it show out it stand out only cultivator who has gone through the training can understand and appreciate because these are very profound quotes that come from that being that has gone through the whole training otherwise it cannot come out in this way
That's why我觉得我们每一个 garment 一定要一直要去看 这个 unique code， 因为它的每一个 point 都是修读那个 direct 教你怎样去到你的 nature， 怎样去 cultivate 进入你的那个 nature。 although那个字是很 simple， but 它的那个每个 meaning 你要去 cultivate， 要去 understand 它。
Very profound。
对对对， very profound。 Yeah。 Brother Nathan， 我就在你给我的那个 advice 了以后，我再听回你的那个 talk， 所以我就 get the understanding， 说一定要 reverse cultivation back to daily 的那个 mindfulness。
Mindfulness， yeah， 你没有 revert back to daily mindfulness， 很多东西还是看不到。
对对对。
The daily mindfulness， the continuous mindfulness。That one becomes sati sampajana. That sati sampajana is the one that actually allow you to understand many, many things. The pusatao, you need that. You don't go through that, you cannot understand the pusatao. Then after that, you can alternate between the formal sitting and the daily life cultivation. Then when the two together move, you become very different.
You become very different. So,
throughout the day, you know, in the state of sati, you know, and your mind states are so different. Everything you do is in sati, you know. That is the real sati sambhaja. That during that time, a lot of things you never see before, you start to see, you start to understand. Then a lot of the higher understanding keep on arising. Everything you lay your awareness on, the understanding unfolds, and whatever you see, it unfolds. But that one really, really very unique, very powerful, and that direct seeing, the direct observation, the specific phenomenal awareness, and the spacious awareness, that thing completely manifests, and your mind is so different after that. That's how the Dhamma unfold, the understanding keep on unfolding. Then when you do the formal meditation that time, you go deep into it. You know how to relax into it, silent, and let the nature do. And then that transformation will actually transform you again. Then your daily mind will transform again. That's why there is a lot of transformation that will happen.
So, brother, 他这两个是一直要cultivate咯，要去修，因为
the daily mindfulness， 有 daily mindfulness 的 unique cultivation， because you don't have the daily mindfulness， a lot of the very fine subtle department you cannot see， you cannot see means you cannot root out， you cannot understand。 Then you cannot understand why the Buddha call it anusaya latent tendency, then the asavak. Then you cannot differentiate between the minor conceit, very subtle one, the very fine suffering within, the very fine delusion and defilement. So they come through the back door and all those things. Only the very, very stable sati sampajana can allow you to see all this and understand all this. That's why daily mindfulness, the stability of it is very important. Actually, if you cannot do it, the wisdom is limited. It cannot penetrate deeper. You need to do that one. So always remember, the wisdom part and the consciousness, they must go hand in hand. If you go consciousness too fast, your wisdom lag behind, then your understanding is limited and you cannot go very deep into consciousness. But I realize when your wisdom is already there, your consciousness will penetrate very deep. That's why I was very lucky. My nature is different. I start off with the Dhamma understanding first because of my past, my cultivation. So I have the Dhamma already that time, 1989. That's why before I met my last guide, I already had the wisdom. Technically, I told you all, I don't need to see anybody. But his condition was very unique. 6-7 times, then I knew, I don't know who he is, I must be him. Then he showed me the gateway. Then I realized my wisdom is ahead. That's why when he showed me the gateway, the moment I knew what that thing is, I relaxed, silent, aware. My whole movement moved. My whole energy went in. That's why I understood what he was trying to show me. He knew that gateway is very unique, very important. But he don't have the Dhamma. That's why he cannot teach me all those things. But he highlighted to me the gateway. And I saved 10 to 15 years looking for it myself. Because of that, I actually cut short my training. That's why after that, my movement in the consciousness field, I move very fast because of my wisdom, which is ahead. So you go wisdom first, then you have to do daily mindfulness until it's very stable, because that is my specialty. Adiptana and daily mindfulness was my specialty. I have that, then I penetrate. Then after that, the consciousness one is the higher path, the Bodhisattva way and all those things. Because of I got one very powerful aspiration. Every life my nature come, I want to realize the highest understanding available during that civilization. That's why he has to come. It's through my vow that he came. There is no way I can know him. He is not even a Buddhist. But they all, that consciousness field, the pure energy, the occult field. Occult is pure psychic, not the thought-based psychic. So his arising is also mainly because of my vow, and no way I can know him. Well, he was born in Australia. Then he went to New Zealand and actually stayed there. He used the word like hibernate there for very long. For 25 years, he went through that type of like recuperating and healing process, hibernating. And when he decided to come out, it was the year 1988. That time, he already recovered. Then he was able to actually come out. And it so happened that time my Singapore friend, they located him and they went there. Then everything unfolded, meant to be. That's why it's meant to be. In fact, when he met me, he was very happy. He knew I was different. The wife also complained many times. He said, because the wife wanted to record his talk, was scolded and reprimanded by him. Then when he saw me recording when I visited him in New Zealand, the wife complained, why Mr. Teo can record? Why you don't allow me to record? Then finally, my last guy explained to her, Mr. Teo is different. He understand. You record, you don't understand. You copy. You just listen. No use, son. That's why he know. Then the way I responded and understand what that thing is, he also surprised, shocked. Then when I went through the cessation, he knew something happened. He asked me what happened, but he cannot understand what I went through. Then I explained a lot of things to him, but not easy. And he really liked me because the way I progress and understand things is so different. So different. Because they don't have the Dhamma. That's why that is the missing link. But their civilization, the world system that they came from, their advancement in that consciousness field, the pure energy is very far ahead. That's why they're able to have that thing. It's also meant to be the way I supposed to have all this understanding, because the vow brought him to me. That's why I told you 6-7 times, you know, I never had this before. Normally 2-3 times I saw the sign, I will go. But this one, I wait till the 6th and the 7th time only I go. Because that time I don't need to see anybody. So now you understand the daily mindfulness, stabilize it. That one very important. Develop the wisdom. The wisdom part, daily mindfulness, sati sampajana. Where from there you move into Vedana Nupassana, Chitta Nupassana, and Dhamma Nupassana. Then when you have that thing established, you go and do the trust, relax, aware, let that nature do. Then the internal movement transform. That is the consciousness way. The consciousness way will actually transform your consciousness until it becomes very, very fine. And then that one can lead to the collapse of the mundane mind. So that one, without the wisdom stabilized, it cannot happen, actually. It cannot happen. So you have to do both. The daily mindfulness is a must. Even the Buddha already said, sati satana, the four foundation of mindfulness. Step 8. You don't go into step 8, you cannot penetrate beyond Sakadagami, second stage of sainthood. To go beyond second stage of sainthood, you must have the sati sampajana. You must do the four foundation of mindfulness, complete it, contemplate, reflect until very clear. Then you go beyond anagami and arahanta shape. Then after that, together with the consciousness, you move into the bodhisattva way. You do the trust, the higher teaching. So this will complete the cultivation. And most people cannot do the trust because they don't understand that thing. So my nature is like, to the condition that arise in 208 when Maitreya requests me to come out and share. 请你把正法传下去 is to teach the Bodhisattva way and this nature's way, the gateway and all those things. The normal Satipatthana, the Sati Sampajana, Sakyamuni teaching has already. That one, the normal Theravada tradition and the Mahayana tradition also has. But the Mahayana tradition, because of Huining, he really go to the true mind direct. That's why his hallmark of his teaching is no thought. That one is the hallmark. Wu Nian. Wu Nian 就是真心. That one take you straight away to the true mind, that true nature. And you have to meditate from there. From the awareness nature. You cannot meditate with the thought. It becomes thought-based meditation. You are wasting your time. Because you want to realize the Dhamma, which is akaliko, beyond thought, beyond mind. So now you start to connect and you start to see. Then after no thought, you realize the basic Dhamma already. Then only you can penetrate the higher understanding or the higher teaching to realize no mark. The no mark means no mark of a self cultivating, no mark of others, and finally no mark of Dhamma, life, existence. So this is the unconditioned Dhamma. This is the wisdom Dhamma that will allow you to go to Bodhisattva, to live life, to understand life, to develop all the understanding and the cultivation, to perfect yourself, to continue in the way. Then the last one is no dwelling, wu zhu. So no dwelling is a very, very profound teaching. That one, the mundane mind must collapse. Then the pure, supramundane nature, the true mind, shine forth. Then only you can be in that state of no dwelling, the wu zhu. Wu nian, wu xiang, wu zhu. So these three hallmarks of Hui Ning is very profound. That like he also a very great being. He can teach you these three means he also have great cultivation. That's why the moment I saw that three hallmark in the sutra, and also when we visited the Liu Chu's birthplace, all those things at the temple, I remember I showed to Amy the column, the pillar there. Many of the temple, many places have that hallmark. Wu Nian, Wu Xiang, Wu Zhu. Very beautiful. And for people to recognize that, you have to have that understanding. Otherwise, you cannot understand what he say. What he say is so profound, so deep in his meaning. So Song, this is for you and some others like Po Cheng Li or who has gone far enough. This one is very useful. So you have to maybe mind sampajana, stabilize it until it's very stable. Then only go into the trust.
Brother, 刚才你的 explanation, 我知道要做什么了。谢谢你 Brother, thanks.
Also 你的 good condition. Otherwise you won't ask and share all this, then you won't get recorded. This one is very important. Actually, today sharing is all very important. So for those cultivators, the session with you, they must listen. Then they will understand. Will also benefit some serious cultivator like Ingby Day or Alicia Day or even those who really are very serious in the cultivation. They listen. Later on, they will know what this thing is. Then as they progress, they will know what to do. That's why all along from the early days, I say daily mindfulness. Without daily mindfulness, no real awakening, no real Dhamma. First and second stage of sainthood, you can reflect, contemplate. You can do the first and second turning wisdom. That one, very easy. But to go beyond the second stage of sainthood, anagami, and arahantshiphood, and the bodhisattva stage, you need the four foundation of mindfulness. The four foundation of mindfulness is a must to be heedful. Then after that, the nature one is not taught in the Theravada teaching. Because you don't need that teaching, the trust part, you don't need. You only need to stabilize your sati. That's why the Buddha taught Kaya Nupasana. He started with Anapanasati, and from there go in. Then do the four posture, mindfulness of four posture. Then daily mindfulness, sati sampajana. Once you do that, you penetrate a lot of Dhamma. You penetrate a lot of the basic teaching, the sainthood way. Then you will realize sotapanna shape means you will root out sakaya ditti, self-delusion. That one fairly easy. Because you know form and mind not real, not you. It's characteristic of that one you can penetrate very fast.
But Bradio, 其实我在看那个 Unicode 的时候哦，
yeah.
我觉得你这个 Unicode 的这个 sharing 就是教我们去 no thought， 跟那个六祖的一模一样。
对。
那些 code 哦，就是教你 direct to no thought。
Yeah, take you direct to the true mind to cultivate. Don't waste your time.
对。所以我一开始哇，就这么讲讲。Very profound.
The four support, relax, aware, then go in. That's like all along over the past 16 over years, coming to 17 years, I only share this teaching. Of course, the Theravada teaching is separate. That one is the sainthood way. That one I follow the Theravada suttas, and later on I have the condition. That's why I share with you all the Mahayana teaching. And the Mahayana teaching can be understood through the Theravada teaching if you do the Sati Sampajana. then the higher teaching of Huineng, of course, you need to go through that gateway, the nature. And that one, very few people understand, can have that understanding to share and teach. But most people can't even go beyond the silent mind, the true mind. Then they cannot understand what this thing is. So how to explain to people, how to teach people to do it, it's not easy. That's why a lot of words I have to come out my own, like specific phenomenal awareness. It's not written anywhere. Spacious awareness without a center, all those things. And many of the unique code thing that I mentioned is not taught by anybody or shared by anybody. So this is something that the cultivator should bear in mind. You investigate, you find out. Then when it is the truth, you progress. You really develop very different understanding. Okay?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Satu beratil.
Hai you semua.
Brother, 我最近听了你的 talk， 我知道我应该要怎样啊。
Very good，
我又刚才从你今天的 sharing 里面，我又看到了我自己要怎样的。
Yeah.
我都是很 simple 的这样子讲，但是我知道我要做什么。
Yeah. 还有很多功课。
对。
Mindfulness sati sampajana，那个要做到很 stable。
对。
做到 mind enter sati and stabilize it。Some people can do until the mind enters sati for a while. After that, they cannot stabilize it because complacency. They never continue to strive on with hatefulness. The moment you are complacent, you lag back. The daily mindfulness drop back. But do not be complacent. Continue to strive on with diligence. Means.Strike on with heedfulness, continuously develop it until it's very stable. It can be very, very stable. And you become very different at that time. Okay?
Okay. Yeah. Thanks, Bertil. Satu.
Next time.